You're listening to IdgetCast, Season 1, Episode 19, Provenance. An antique painting of a family portrait may be tied to a string of grisly murders. Meanwhile, Sam finds himself a special lady friend, man.
Welcome back to IdgetCast. I am Paul Mackey, and I'm here in Elk River. And then we also have, around the country, we have John Pavlich in Texas.
Greetings.
And down in New Orleans, we have Yvette.
Hey, y'all.
Back up in New York, we have David Bushman.
Hello.
And back here in Elk River, we have right next to me, my lovely wife, Darcy.
Hey.
And once again, as with last week, we have all the way from Perth, Australia, Simone.
Me. Woo. I'm back.
You're back.
Yay.
Wasn't sure I could make it, you know, because the whole week later and everything.
The whole week later.
How'd this week treat y'all?
It's been a while. Yeah, how was that last week?
I invented flying cars. Sorry.
Finally. My goodness. Thank goodness.
Awesome.
All right. So.
So, all right. I'm still awkward at this portion of the podcast because I don't have a whole lot of small talk.
Yeah.
My small talk is broke.
Yeah. I get that.
Anybody have anything to say before we just launch right into this thing?
Lucky this isn't video, Scott, because I don't think any talking would get done. Sounds like a whole lot of laughing would get done.
Oh, yes.
Could be. All right. Well, we'll just jump into the summary then.
Go for it.
Okay. In the cold open, a couple hangs a creepy family portrait painting they bought in a charity auction.
Yes.
And as
who
they
wouldn't want that hanging up in their home. So beautiful.
They were so proud. They were so proud and happy.
Happy, smiling family.
As they go to bed, one of the figures moves. And later, a razor that was in the painting is no longer in the painting, and they are slashed to death.
First, I would like to just say that girl, whoever that lady was, had a really cute nightie on. I really liked it.
Alright.
Until it was soaked with blood.
The clothes in this show aren't very good, so I take it where I can get it.
Good point. Yes.
Have you made notice of costume design yourself?
It's pretty.
But there isn't much of one?
There isn't much of
it's
one.
It's a shopping show.
It's a shopping show, and I think they probably just, I'm not even sure they have anybody on task. I'll be honest, I've never read the credits. There you go.
So they may have wardrobe or they may have costume designer.
They probably have wardrobe, but I don't know.
I assume occasionally the monster has to have costumed clothing.
Yeah, but, you know, like the last episode, I mean, hooded cape.
Hooded cape.
You know, who doesn't? I have hooded capes all over.
The Reaper was in a decent suit.
Yeah, he was in a decent suit. That was probably a thrift store suit.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Handily.
Handily.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, I really loved this death scene. It was so bloody, and I'm all about like super bloody scenes, so I loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty
good. Yeah, it was a lot of blood.
He even smelled it.
Yeah, did you spill something?
I smelled something.
And there was a real squish noise. And
yeah.
That comment he makes about spilling something makes it sort of sound like they come home sloshed a lot, and then she just sort of, you know, very often just spills her wine all over the bed.
Something like that. Who knows?
He's used to it. He's like, oh, that's a silly wife. She likes spilling her booze everywhere.
That'll happen.
Hey, I work at a dry cleaner's. I know about this.
You know what gets spilled in bed, though.
You know what? We get a lot of red wine stains. That's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
A lot of red wine stains.
As long as that's where you're going with this.
And yogurt. We have a lot of yogurt stains.
Oh.
That's code, by the way. If you ever
that's
hear
code.
I can't even talk about yogurt, that's code.
We know.
You mean code for what they were on the on-ramp for before they even got upstairs. Yeah. You know what I noticed in that opening scene is they have this massive, like, bolt lock on their door that, like, goes, is vertical on their door. I'm like, why do they have such a big-ass bolt lock on their door? Have they been, like, broken into or something?
Yeah, welcome to America.
Welcome to America, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I've got, like, so many locks on my door.
Yep, we've got those. At work, we have those doubled, and we still get broken into. So, yeah, it's...
You get broken. I should add that this is the closest they've gotten to New York City. This is New Paltz in the Hudson Valley.
Oh.
So we're getting closer.
Yeah. I'm still curious to see, you know, aside from the big cities, I'm also curious to see whether eventually, I assume not this season, obviously, but at some point there's got to be supernatural stuff that happens somewhere other than the North American continent.
Perhaps.
Oh, you think they might travel like a...
I mean, it's an Americana show, but I assume that eventually, you know, I mean, that they don't have to actually do an on-location shoot. They can, you know, use Vancouver Chinatown to mock up the East or something like that, like X-Files did, or...
Ooh, I don't think they'll ever... I think they'll never go anywhere outside of America.
Well, they got to use that car wherever they go, right?
Well, maybe they'll go to hell.
Yeah, I was going to ask, does, like, you know, different dimensions and other, like, worlds count?
I don't know. Dean's going to drive the bus, though.
Dean's going to drive the bus to hell?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
I'm getting on. I'm totally getting on, too.
You're getting on the Dean bus?
I am.
Okay.
You're following Dean to hell, huh? That's what I call love.
Oh, yeah, it's all right. You know, Paul and I, we have a good time, but, you know.
Okay.
I love you, sweetie.
Okay. I don't feel less manly at all, I promise. So, after the spooky supernatural symbol.
Spooky.
Little credits.
Title card.
At the bar, Dean's working the lady folk in a phony reality TV scam and tries to get Sam to join in. In the meantime, Sam... Oh, yes?
Wait, he was trying to scam money out of them? Is that what he was doing?
No.
No, he was trying to pick them up.
Not unless...
Okay, all right, well, that's what my... No, that's what my note was. But I'm just like, he's so handsome. Like, why would he even bother lying to pick up babes? Like, I mean, like, let's be real. Like, this guy walks into a bar. It's not like he's going to have to, like, really say much of anything. Like... I find it, I mean, okay, we've talked about, like, suspending your belief, but come on, like, this dude's, like, gorgeous. Like, why would he ever make up a lie?
Like, I think
it's
fun for him.
He could just be like, hey, let's go bang.
It could just be a regular couch. It doesn't have to be a casting couch, Dean.
Yeah. That's what makes me the couch. I'm not going to say no. Come on.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't think they've ever really made that, like, a part of the story, have they? Like, I know Dean thinks that he's, like, really... appealing, but it's never been really something that they've acknowledged, right? Wouldn't you say? I mean, it's never part of the story that, wow, Dean is this really good-looking guy, I think. Because I think it would probably make him a little bit less accessible if it was, but...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't know if I've seen anything where they've highlighted that he's so pretty.
That's mostly just us who watch the show.
Yeah, I don't think they need to.
See him. Yeah.
Yeah, my eyes do all that. It's all good.
The reason he does this reality TV scout stuff is because those girls aren't watching the show, so he has to put on this whole big thing, trick them into coming in with him. They don't know that he's so awesome.
I guess I feel like it's just not that hard to, like, pick up people at bars. Like, you don't really have to make up lies. But, I mean, you know, it does make for entertainment.
You don't?
Well, you're...
What?
I've never had to lie to, like, get somebody to...
Speaking as a guy, I can tell you, yes, it is hard to pick up women at bars. I'm sorry, it is.
So you've tried, then.
So you've done them, yeah. Don't
lie. I have to say...
I'm not saying a word.
I mean, I know that I've turned down a lot of people in the bar, but yeah, never have I once been picked up in a bar. I'll be honest, never once.
Okay, you're a complete success at the reject.
I think so.
Okay,
I'm pretty cold. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I got picked up in the theater department personally. So
yeah, I know. I did a good job, didn't I?
Yeah. Dean tries to get Sam to join in, but Sam has found the story of the couple, the Telescas, and they agree that they'll go check it out in the morning. Yeah, that's a little bit later. That's at the auction. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
I missed that.
No, I totally saw it.
What is that referencing?
I assume that would be Eric Kripke, the showrunner.
The series creator.
Okay, in my mind I knew Kripke like as a name had something to do with the show, but I'm trying really hard not to look at anything about Supernatural, so I didn't want to look it up at all.
Yeah, I was thinking at some point if it looked like a light week or something, I'd ask John to tell us a little bit about Eric Kripke in terms of his past before he came to create this show.
We'll get there. Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, cool. I figure there'll be a time for it. Oh, and then I do have the question: what do we think about Dean's habits regarding women on the road? Is he regularly bedding women down and moving on? And is that what he wants Sam to be doing as well?
Yes.
Is he suggesting that? Yeah.
Totally.
Because they don't really they depict him hitting on a lot of people. They don't really depict him sleeping with a lot of people.
I think that it's understood that that's happening.
Yeah. Right. Agreed.
So while Dean's sleeping it off, Sam goes and checks out the house and finds finds no sign of trouble or history in the Telescas' background. Dean's guess is that it's a cursed object, but all the house's contacts have been removed for auction.
That's fast.
That was fast. That was kind of creepy fast. Like, who wanted money that bad?
Well, apparently the same auctioneer who sold him the painting. And then I have, does anybody take note of the vanity plates at the auction house, the crypt?
Yes.
That's me. I did it.
Good job.
Yay. Dean pretty much is almost like asking for them to have attention drawn to them, but they claim to be art dealers.
They really don't fit in at all.
When they speak to Mr. Blake, yes, they claim that we're smart dealers.
I mean, they have like really nice costumes in that trunk, and they're not even utilizing.
Yeah, they walked right in with their street clothes and started grabbing hors d'oeuvres. And
I know they needed, you know, a nice suit with a vest and a pocket square. You know, they
could have done that.
They blew it.
Dean still would have been Dean in a fancy suit or not. He would have given them away at some point.
Eventually, but if he kept his mouth shut for a minute, they maybe could have pulled it off for a second.
And meanwhile, Sarah Blake seems to give a bit of a test to Sam on art smarts, and he passes.
Her face is so tight. Like, I just, like, every time she was on screen, like, I was just looking at, like, she's like a pretty lady, but her face just looked like it was, like, stretched too taut over her skull. It just made me uncomfortable.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
She does have kind of pointy features, doesn't she?
Was it?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
And a huge forehead and huge cheeks.
You're right.
Yeah.
God, you women are awful.
Yeah, she is pretty. And I was really interested to see how people were going to react to her because I thought it was just nice to have a third person just to have some change the dynamic. And I was kind of hoping that she left with him even, you know. But I guess that was maybe that's a gender thing. I don't know.
No, I liked her. I kind of thought she'd make a nice Willow for them. I really did.
Liked that she was a brunette, like, because every single woman we get on this show is a blonde. So that was, like, a nice change.
Yeah.
You know, she did have really nice hair.
Yes.
I did like her hair.
But we're only saying nice things because the boys chided us.
I liked her figure.
But no, I'm saying she was a pretty lady. Her face was tight, and she had nice hair, you know.
And a big forehead. And a big nose.
She's very pretty.
Tiny nose. Her nose was very small for her face, but I did love her hair.
Who's objectifying? You know, breaking down into pieces and all of this. I liked your figure.
It's all right.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Everybody's allowed to like and dislike different attributes of anything.
Okay. They do talk about that very painting, but take no special notice to it at that point. And just as Sam is asking after the provenances, Mr. Blake returns and kicks him out for not being on the list. And then we get a winning motel room from the set designers.
That room is so...
I love it.
I know. Can we please book that? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
They're pretty. And I love the boys' reaction. They're just like, this is a lot more fancier than we're used to.
Yeah, the motel room actually got its own theme song for...
It did.
Got a little soundtrack time.
Is it spoilery to say that they focus a lot on the hotel room?
No, we've seen a lot of...
In the future stuff? Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, we've seen the log cabin motel room and the...
Yeah, the Texas room.
We've noted.
Yeah, the Texas room, the steer horns and the... Yeah. Yes.
I think the reason that the costuming lacks on this show is because they put it all into the set and the hotel rooms that they sort of hit up every week.
It's so fun to see it. Because it's most likely it's the same set every time, just meticulously redressed to look like a different location.
Yeah, possibly that's the case.
It's a lot more interesting than just having it be the same Hampton Inn room with a different phony picture on the wall.
Yeah.
I like waiting to see like the new letterhead, because you know sometimes a hotel will have like a piece of paper where you can write, and it'll have like the letterhead of the hotel or like the menu for food or phone calls or something like that. They do like they're incredible with the hotel room sets on this show. It's crazy.
I do enjoy it.
Yes, yes.
For sure.
No, they've definitely had a good cross-section of different types of rooms so far in this season already.
Yeah.
Dean gets the explanation of what provenance means, and then he makes Sam use whatever mojo he had so far with Sarah Blake to use it to their advantage. And so they go out on a date, or a meeting at least, a dinner meeting, something. Sam.
Sam's hair is so bad in this date scene.
It's really time for a haircut. You know, when my kids start like flicking their head a little bit to make their bangs get out of the way, I sit them down and I cut that right off.
There you go.
I can't stand it.
Oh, I hate it.
Sam's looking over the wine list, and the beer snob in me has a problem with them just saying, "I'll have a beer." Could at least say, "I'll have a porter," or "I'll have a lager," or something, whatever. A beer?
A beer.
They're manly men, Paul. They're beer.
Well, that's manly Sarah and manly Sam.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, at least it's not as bad as how in Clerks, people ask for a pack of cigarettes and never a particular brand.
Or strength, either, because that's a thing as far as
they should just have their own brand, the supernatural brand of beer.
Yeah. They could just... What do you think it would be if they had their own brand of beer, like an IPA or?
No, it'd be dark. It would be dark.
Stout.
About porter.
Porter, you think?
Maybe a brown.
No.
Yeah.
Some sort of small town dark brew would be my guess.
Just go with the Buffy reference and call it Black Frost.
Black.
All right. That's a whole lot of minutes of me talking about the beer.
it wasn't even a whole minute.
Sarah and Sam talk over how they don't date much, but Sam doesn't say too much about his history. But in the end, Sam scores the provenances, and Dean wants to know just how much mojo that took. Sam notes that there is a matchup between Dad's journal list of the previous victims and the owners of the Isaiah Merchant portrait.
I forgot how ubiquitous John's diary was in the first season.
Yeah.
Like, in every episode. Telling them where to go, what to do. We've already seen this demon before. But, you know, go back and kill it, please.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. It's a repository for all information on everything across the country.
Yep.
So they go back to the auction house at night and break in using fairly sophisticated alarm trickery and lockpicking. And they cut the portrait from its frame and burn it. But as we see in the special effects, the burning makes it magically restore back into its frame. Because that's how magic things work.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked by that. I mean, I knew that obviously you couldn't just, like, get burned and, like, be in the show or whatever, but I was like, what? That painting's back? That's crazy.
Yeah, I was trying to think of how they were going to carry that off, and then what was going to be the actual object if that couldn't have been it, even though they had already focused on it, so...
Did that scene with the where they are hopping the fence to the rock music and stuff seem a little anomalous to anyone, or was that just me? It just seemed
wanted to do a heist movie suddenly.
Yeah, it seemed different.
But I'll be honest, it was different, but I did like the energy.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a problem with it. It just seemed different.
Yeah,
I was just surprised they could get over such a high fence. I mean, they're not Spider-Man or Batman or anything.
Yeah.
I did, you know.
I liked watching that part, too. It was good. It's fun to watch them climb the fence. It was cool.
It's fun to watch guys climb the fence.
Well, those guys. They're bad boys. It's good.
Because they're being bad boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And their butts were too up.
Yes, I was looking at their buttocks. I was, entirely.
All right, so this next element, the next element of the story, I interpreted entirely one way, and so did Darcy, and then at some point I was looking, I admit I didn't have my quotes all written down, so I was looking at a quote site, and suddenly it was acting like it was a completely different element than I thought it was. So here's what I have down in my notes, and then I'll discuss it. Dean realizes he dropped his wallet at the auction house, and when they're at the auction house, they run into Sarah... And Sam sees the painting magically restored and insists that she not sell it. So what I thought was that they went in looking for the wallet. Dean found it, and then to conspicuously say, "Hey, I found what I was looking for," he gave Sam that money that he owes him, and that was what he was supposed to be doing, was saying, "Oh, well, I found it, but I'm not going to say, hey, guess what? I found my wallet that I dropped last night when we were doing a siege of the place." But the quote site seemed to be implying that Dean didn't lose his wallet at all, and when he was giving him the money, it was just like, hey, I tricked you into coming back here and talking to Sarah again.
What did you guys think? Which was it?
I thought he dropped his wallet, and basically what Paul said. Like,
yeah.
That's definitely what I thought.
Yeah, I never got the impression that it... Because the way he was saying it, it seemed completely, you know, fabricated. Like, right. We were like, hey, here's the $20 I owe you, you know, to show him, like, I found my wallet.
My wallet. Yeah.
But maybe it wasn't a, I'll show you my wallet. It's a, hey, look what I did.
I got you. That's what they seemed to be saying on the quote site, because they just said, Sam realizing he was tricked or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see it on Sam's face that he realizes what his brother did. And even Dean's face is like, ha, 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 totally tricked ya.
Okay, well...
I didn't interpret it that way.
I'll have to go back and watch it again, because I could have sworn...
Until the moment you see, like, Sam's reaction, it does very much play. Like, he found his wallet and was just giving him money, but when Sam is all like, oh, gosh darn it, you got me again, big brother, then the scene turns and you realize, oh, he didn't.
Well, some people realize.
Yeah.
Others don't.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, go back and watch it. You'll see.
And some are even in strong disagreement, so.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
But she says after he insists that she not sell it, she says that she's refusing to let her dad sell it again anyway. So Sam and Dean go to research the merchant family.
Exposition bookstore guy or library guy.
And they find out about the murder-suicide via straight razor from an overzealous librarian. And apparently this was in 1912, as the Titanic headlines would indicate.
Simone and I are just wishing he was that really short guy from Fringe.
I don't know. Fringe.
What?
You know, the guy in the bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
Really short guy with the glasses.
Okay, with the first people stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny, though, a killer librarian. You know, I guess you don't see that very often.
Yeah, crickets on the part of the people who haven't seen the show. So Sam gets a copy of the portrait out of the book. It's a copy of it's a representation of the portrait. Meanwhile...
And it's different.
Yes, but it is different. They notice no differences in it. But meanwhile, Mr. Blake has sold the portrait over Sarah's objections, because he's just that greedy.
Greed.
which is pretty much
was
what
that
you...
another bad dad on the show? Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Bad,
yeah,
dad, bad dad show.
Bad dads and absent moms all
That's
around.
Right.
Well, absent for a reason. I mean, not just absent.
Dead
off, but
mom?
Dead moms. Yeah, that's what I mean, is dead moms.
Dead moms, yep.
It's the dead mother show.
Unless she faked it, in which case you guys are in for a real surprise.
Oh, now we're spoiled.
Oh, she's the bad guy.
I'm not paying attention. La, 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 like, he, you.
Sam takes notes of differences in the portrait, and they know that they still have to deal with that painting. So they call, but find out it was sold. And briefly, we see the victim, Evelyn.
Poor old lady.
Poor old lady.
Do y'all think, at this point, we know that he was, like, a barber, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do y'all really think that, like, I guess this is, what, 1912? Okay, so 1912, so that's, like, Edwardian era. Mm-hmm. Do y'all really think that a Edwardian era barber could have afforded, like, an oil painting commissioned of his family? It seems rather unlikely to me, but maybe that's incredibly nitpicky.
Maybe he was barber to the stars.
Maybe it's family money, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know. I don't know. You're right that you would think that would be a working class person.
Yeah, however, I mean, I could see a photograph of the family because everybody had photographs made at that point.
At that point,
painting.
Yeah, someone getting a painting made at that point is someone who's.
Yeah, I mean, I have family photos from that era.
Yeah.
No paintings though. There was a painting of my mother. In the 60s, they did an oil painting of my mother. Did you know that?
No.
Have you seen it?
I don't think so.
It's creepy as hell. I'm just saying.
If she was still alive, it wouldn't be as creepy. Aww.
Okay, well, yeah, but it is creepy as hell. I'm just saying.
Do the eyes seem to follow you
yes,
where you go?
Yes, they do. I made my dad lock that thing up.
She's your mom. She just still wants to look at what you're doing.
Oh, God. No, stop that. Stop that now.
Quietly judging you.
She is judging me. She's like, have you
she
put
just
on 10
loves you
pounds?
So much.
Did you put on 10 pounds? No.
Okay.
Creepy. You've never seen it. Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
I swear that I showed it to you at some point.
I'm just suddenly remembering that we didn't get your night terror anecdote last episode.
Oh, you're right. That was a good one, too. Oh, well.
I could edit it in.
I'm sorry.
All right, we'll let it go.
We'll let it go.
Okay, so Sarah meets them at Evelyn's house, and they drop the pretense of what's going on while they're trying to save Evelyn, picking the lock and finding a actually fairly grisly half-severed head corpse.
Oh, my God, head goes back. I loved it.
Yeah, it was like top off. It was good.
It was like a Pez dispenser.
Pez dispenser. Exactly.
Yes, it was. Here, take some candy.
Where's the
from
candy?
My neck. I always thought it was weird that it was take some candy from my neck. No, yeah.
Rip out my throat. It's candy.
She was drinking red wine as well.
Yeah, I know. It's you know what? That's in rugs all the time too. Along with other
yogurt.
Yes. Gross. Oh my gosh. And you know, we do ask, are there any stains that we need to be aware of? Anything? And the people just get this look on their face of, oh my God, they just asked me that and I have to tell them, but do I have to tell them? So, yeah.
You should only get worried if the answer is yes.
Yeah, they will say that. And then we say, well, do you know what it was? Because sometimes that helps us be able to get the stain out.
It's
and then they
stain.
Like turn bright white.
It's a protein stain.
And then we're just like, okay, never mind. We'll figure it out. We're really good at that.
Like, how badly do I want this stain to go away? Am I willing to embarrass myself?
Sometimes they'll lay it out there, and that's embarrassing for us.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you look at this drawing here, you'll see when.
At what point in the night this got here?
Oh.
We'll get this cleaned up right away for you, Miss Lewinsky. All right.
Yes, the one woman in history who probably should have got her dress dry cleaned.
Oh, she should have right away. Right away.
Okay. That
is a tangent. I know.
Is a tangent,
sorry,
bro.
I'm sorry. Oh, bad me.
Okay, so at the motel, Sarah demands answers. And Sam tells her the painting is haunted. And she insists on being along on this one. She's good.
Absolutely. Yeah, she stepped up, man. She stepped up. I'll give her that.
Yeah, it was nice having another person there.
That's right. Their pointy nose.
Their tight face.
Very nice hair.
Very nice hair, yes. Hair. And pointy nose. Some people like pointy noses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She could be a good witch.
I liked her figure.
Oh, she would make a great witch.
I know, just like Willow. Huh? No. Sorry.
You're really eager for this early Willow connection thing.
I really like Willow.
Okay.
There are very few people that do tag along, though. So it is interesting. I kind of wish it wasn't her, because shock horror, I don't like this episode. It's interesting to see someone go, yeah, you know what, cut the ball. I'm coming with you guys, and let's just do this. Because why not, right? You could get hit by a bus tomorrow.
You could.
And then I say, I wouldn't mind seeing Sarah Blake again, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
So they find the picture. They find, what? Oh, sorry, yes. Gotta read my notes.
Read your notes.
Yes, they find a picture of the Merchant Family Crypt in the portrait.
Yes.
In the background.
Because it changed.
Because it's different from the what's in the background on the photo of the portrait.
Right.
They go to the actual crypt. Say, hey, that's got to be Clue.
And there's a creepy doll. Sorry.
You know what's scarier than a painting that moves?
A creepy doll.
Exactly.
That also moves.
And you know, yeah. And you know what's scarier than a doll?
What's that?
The creepy freaking girl.
Yeah, that was pretty creepy.
It's a hat trick of creepy.
There
yes.
You go.
Agreed.
I loved it.
Disturbing.
They see the glass cases with children's toys next to four urns and find record that Isaiah was not actually cremated but buried in a potter's field, so they go to dig him up.
Wait, here we go. A creepy girl holding a creepy doll, and they're stepping out of a creepy painting.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, if she just had a creepy nursery rhyme song to sing in the meantime, that would be full.
No, she didn't need to, man. She was good. All she right. had she had that creep under control. She All was right. good. It was pretty bad.
And Sam.
So, have y'all ever seen like a cemetery that has like things under glass, like in the crypts?
I have to be honest. I don't think I've ever been in a crypt.
Yeah, I don't think I've been in a family crypt.
Yeah.
Like a mausoleum.
I've been in the big mausoleums at the cemetery with everybody in them.
Yep, and then I've been to like some of the really old ones in Europe, but like there's just like. Nothing there anymore. They've moved everything.
I think my grandmother was buried in a crypt, but I've never actually been there.
Hmm. We have a couple like here that are like open now, like Victorian era ones where you can like walk in and take a look or whatever. Uh-huh. And they totally do have like like dolls under glass or like portraits under glass of the people. It's really beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never been into a crypt myself, but some of the like the headstones here will have like sliding glass doors, and there are like cute little angel figurines and stuff behind the glass on the actual gravestone.
Oh,
I love those. Yeah, I've seen some of those before too. Those are really cool.
Oh, I've never seen that.
I've seen that they're starting to put incorporate flat screens into headstones.
No way.
Yes.
Really? So,
with like a perpetual video of something or another.
that just means we're one step closer to the Serenity hologram.
Hey, you and me have the same one here.
Yeah.
Huh.
That better be on my headstone, otherwise I'm going to be really disappointed with humanity.
It should be a touchscreen though, interactive headstone.
No, thank you.
Just put a tablet right in there. Make the whole headstone a great big interactive tablet.
Mm-mm. Not for me.
Yeah,
people hate come and visit and they touch it, it'll be like fingerprint sensitive, and like with the people you don't like, it'll say, "Why are you here? You never liked me when I was alive."
That's why I'm here, because you're dead.
Here is the one thing I never said to you that I meant to say to you.
Here's that thing.
Like you're forced to now play a game of Angry Birds or something.
Flappy Bird.
Flappy Bird.
Okay. That was interesting.
Yeah. But like I said, I have never seen that. I would be really interested to see that now that that's out there. thinking about it.
Sam gets to tell his tragic tale of how his life is so horrible and how he's not going to date because of it, and Sarah brushes it off as archaic. Sarah's there as they dig him up, salt him, and burn him. And they go back to steal and burn the painting, but when they get to it, the girl is missing. And Dean can't get in.
Yeah.
So they have to find some of that good old cold iron.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy. That was a good suspenseful scene. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was awesome.
The girl approaches, dragging her creepy doll behind her, and Sam disrupts her with a fire poker. Which sounds horribly wrong if you didn't know that it was a supernatural show and we were talking about a ghost.
That's right.
Because she does look underage. I mean, I don't want to say anything, but she kind of looks underage, you know. So maybe let's not park her with their hot iron.
It turns out that the creepy doll is the key because it's got some of her actual hair as part of the doll. Mm. Which I don't know if I've ever heard of the actual hair on the doll of the dead person's whatnot.
The actual hair of that person, not so much. But I mean, they did make like real hair.
Well, yeah, real hair dolls. And
but the thing is, with the child, they don't. I mean, because like adults, you know, we actually shed, but children don't so much. So.
We've seen tons of. At the Museum of the Rockies, they had that huge display of all the funeral art and the hair art.
Right. But that was adult hair,
yeah.
You know. And then people would also save their own hair to make hair pieces for themselves. Mm. But, yeah, that was not... I don't know. That was a little far-fetched, but it could have been, I guess. I don't know.
I guess.
I wasn't paying attention. The doll that is in the picture with her, the doll that comes out of the picture with her, is that the same doll that is presumably now 100 years old and in the crypt?
I assume that's what they're saying, yes.
I think so.
That's what I got from that.
Interesting.
So the creepy doll is the key, and while Sam and Sarah are continuing to try to fend her off, Dean eventually burns the doll and burns the hair with the world's worst Zippo. Those things are supposed to light like that.
I know they are, but...
And they're windproof?
Well, you know.
Well, wind resistant.
There's a lot of wind in the crypt.
Right, windy crypt.
Windy crypt.
It's a pretty speedy wrap-up after that. They basically say in the last scene that, hey, it turns out that girl was a crazy murderer in life and in death.
Yeah, she got her first family, and then she went after her adopted family.
And that is why you don't adopt kids.
That's right, especially redheaded stepchildren.
I'm so kidding, but for real.
Damaged goods. She was damaged goods.
Sarah and Sam part on good terms with a kiss and everything.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's,
I hated the kiss.
And that's pretty much it.
It was forced. I didn't like it either.
It was really forced.
It was full throughout the episode by Dean.
Yeah. I suppose.
Yeah. Let's go on to the next girl. Let's get them some new girls.
That's right.
Not really fun with this one. There's another town. Yeah. More girls. Fine.
With less pointy nose.
Okay.
And equally as pretty hair.
Yes. Maybe even better.
Possibly.
Okay. All right. Who wins? Sam versus Dean.
Sam.
Yeah.
Sam wins.
I've got Sam winning mainly because he gets to thaw his mourning a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and then he also got to get the bad thing.
Sam.
Yeah.
Unanimous.
That's a Sam win this time.
Yay, Sam.
We're getting close to the end of the season. I don't know if you have that stat available to us, who we've gotten for more.
I can tell you right now.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, it looks like it's going to be Dean.
Probably mathematically with 3 episodes left after this.
Yeah, probably. But yeah. Who knows? Because we have a couple ties, so those don't count for anything. But I think it's probably going to be Dean.
All right, well, we'll see. Quotes. I better get our quotes up. I found a lot more in this one than I did in the last one.
I only have one quote, so I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Go.
This ghost is jerking us around.
I don't know about Romeo here, but I'll have a beer.
A beer. A beer. Who orders a beer?
IPA.
People who don't know what a Pinot Noir are.
Yeah, people apparently who don't know what a beer is either, or what a porter is, or a stout, or a...
Well, you know, she was just ordering beer to make him feel more comfortable, so she may not even know anything about beers, but you figure he might have corrected them. My quote is Dean on the Da Vinci Code saying, "I don't know, I'm still waiting for the movie on that one." Not exactly talking about Moby Dick here, you know.
I've got when Mr. Blake comes and says right at the beginning, "Can I help you, gentlemen?" And Dean says, "I'd like some champagne, please." And Sam says, "He's not a waiter."
I liked it when Sam came back after they had burned the painting, and Sarah says, "Oh, well, that's too bad." And Sam sees the painting and he goes, "Oh, my God." And she's like, What? That painting looks so good.
And his delivery is perfect on that. It's like, it looks so, I can't bring myself to say it, but good.
I do love that one.
And I
have a Dane. Okay.
Sure, yeah, go ahead. No, definitely.
Dane says, "The creepy ass family and that creepy ass painting."
It's true.
He's not wrong.
No, that was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
I like the scene when they were digging at the Potter's Field, where Sarah says, "You guys seem to be uncomfortably comfortable with this." Sam's saying, "Well, this isn't exactly the first grave we've dug." All right, well, we can move on to feedback once again. One piece of feedback. I don't know if you'll know who that's from. It's Heidi. And Heidi says, "Haunted paintings. We've been going through a lot of really old pictures lately, and some of them make me think of episodes like this. Good thing the husband died too, or he would have gone to prison for murdering his wife. I don't like it when they go out of their way to make Dean look uncivilized so they can show off Sam's book smarts. Wow, that's a really nice hotel room, huh?"
Yes.
"Those close-up shots on Sam's date were really making me uncomfortable. If that was the point, it worked." Were they focusing in on them real
They were. Tight? It was pretty tight, yeah.
Tight oners on them?
Yeah.
Close-ups and everything.
All right. "I love the scene where they burn the painting as it reappears in the frame. It's funny that when Sam sees the painting again, it freaks out. I like Sarah. It was fun having someone else investigating with them who knew what was going on. I like all the twists and turns in this one. Even rewatching it, I had forgotten that it was the little girl who was doing the killing. I enjoyed this one. Until next time, Heidi."
Thanks, Heidi.
All right, so
we all know who the little girl is, right?
No.
No, who's the little girl? No.
Oh my God, guys, that's Jodelle Ferland, and she was in Cabin in the Woods and like a whole bunch of sci-fi related things.
Wow.
I can't believe I didn't recognize her.
Oh.
Wow. Good start.
She's a good little actress.
Good start, mm-hmm. Creepy girl.
Yeah,
she did do a really good job of creepy. She had that down.
She had the creepy.
It was awesome.
Well, and in Cabin in the Woods, she was missing an arm. So, like, if she had that extra arm, it probably had a doll in it.
There you go.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah. Creepy doll that always follows you.
It's got a ruined eye.
That's always open.
Staring.
There we are. We're quoting Colton to each other. Jonathan Colton.
Mm-hmm.
And his song, Creepy Doll.
Yeah.
Which is Creative Commons that I could play here.
You could. You should. Put it at the end of the episode.
I can do that. All right, should we do some ratings?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Simone, you get first dibs on the ratings.
Awesome. I do not like this episode. I'm impressed that she had the balls to go with them and just be all like, "Really, guys, I'm not some sort of damsel in distress." And I love that she was all like, at first, "Are you guys regulars? Or, you know, what's going on here? You guys do this for a living?" And I like that Jodelle Ferland is in this episode. I think she's great in it, even if, you know, I don't particularly care for the episode itself. I'm going to give it 5 out of 10. Mini quiches.
You took my rating system, Simone.
Sorry.
That's okay. But I, you know, this is what I'd say about this episode. I did like a lot having Sarah investigating with them. I thought, you know, it really kind of mixed up the dynamic a little bit, which can get claustrophobic when there's just two of them. episode after episode after episode. The one thing we didn't discuss that kind of annoyed me about this episode was that when they first are telling the story and they're talking about this barber and they say something, I forget the details, but he had like two kids and they say an adopted daughter. And I thought it was really bizarre that they specified right off the bat that she was adopted. And I kind of sat there going, please don't make that like relevant or important because, you know, so what if she was adopted, you know? So, and then when it turned out to be like a big part of it, it sort of annoyed me. So, but that was kind of neither here nor there. The episode didn't do much for me. I'd give it 6 out of 10 mini kitches also.
Yeah. I actually really enjoyed this episode. I thought Sarah was a great character. I liked what she brought to the dynamic. I thought the episode was really creepy. They had a really nice red herring going on with the with the man in the painting. I actually when they destroyed the painting and then it came back, I thought the frame was the problem. And it's like, it's the frame that's haunted, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But they didn't go that way. They go that route. So they had me guessing throughout the episode, you know. And it was a really creepy episode. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 straight razors.
So I really liked this one too, actually. I liked it because it was pretty bloody and kind of gory. Like, I loved that lady's head Pez dispenser thing.
We're learning so much.
Yeah, and I like traditional horror, and this like really felt like a horror to
totally.
Me. So I'm gonna go ahead and give it 7.5 out of 10 Colombian neckties.
There you go.
Very well done.
You got to pull the tongue out to do that, though, right?
Perhaps, I don't know.
You're supposed to pull the tongue out through the throat.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I did enjoy this episode. I really liked the plot twists. Did not really enjoy the romantic part of it. That's okay. And I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 creepy dolls.
Oh, creepy dolls.
Creepy dolls.
There you go. Yeah. Creepy dolls. I liked the Monster of the Week this time around. I thought maybe it got a little mushy in places, but I really liked Sarah Blake and was hoping to see her again. It really felt like they worked on her character a little bit more than your typical damsel in distress of the week or whatever. But
Sarah Blake is causing a division strictly along gender lines here.
So I'm giving it 7.5 out of 10 brothers pimping brothers.
That's so a that TV gets series, this- right?
This episode then gets an average of 6.83. Hmm. Respectable. That's fine.
Nice.
All right. Good.
Better or worse than the previous episode?
It was a little better.
A little more.
It is better.
Oh,
it is better.
Wow.
By about, okay. About what, 7/10?
Yeah, 0.7%.
It's interesting, John, that you say that it kept you guessing, because there are episodes of Supernatural where, you know, you can't deny that, like Paul said, I guess, or I think it was Paul said, that there were twists, but there are episodes of Supernatural where I don't even really necessarily care. I just can't get motivated enough by the story to...
Well, sure. I mean, that happens, you know. Need we discuss Wendigo again?
Oh, dear God, no.
Yeah. But, I mean, even this one had that kind of impact for me.
Yeah, so. Yeah. This one, it worked for me. I was like, oh, it's the frame. No, it's not the frame. It's the old man. No, it's not him. Oh, little girl. Nope. You know, it's the doll. You know, like, whoa.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to feel what you felt more often in the show, I think.
Well, maybe it'll happen more as we continue on.
All right. Well, I want to thank Simone again for coming in with us again this week.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me back.
Yay,
thanks,
Simone.
Thank you so much. And John, what is our homework for next week?
Homework for next week, which is commentary worthy, if anyone is interested.
All right.
Is episode 20 from season 1, Dead Man's Blood.
Hmm. It almost sounds like an ingredient for some kind of spell. You know, you need some dead man's blood for this particular spell or something like that.
You think?
To do something creepy with.
I hope now it's vampires.
Well, maybe we'll get our willow if you start talking about spells.
But then again, I guess I suppose the dead man's blood is what Meg uses for her scrying or for her communication.
You're right. She does.
Rotary dial blood bowl.
See, now there's a woman on the show that I love. Meg.
Oh, I love Meg. Agreed.
Right.
Love to hate. It's awesome.
I just think it gets a little claustrophobic week after week after week with just the two of them. And, I like them, absolutely. But I just thought...
Yeah.
That a slightly expanded core cast would be nice.
You can find me complaining. You can find me complaining on a weekly basis about the fact that it's our boys don't really have a lot else.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everybody in general for tuning in and listening to us. Subscribing, and thank all of our hosts for joining us again tonight, and I'll just say happy hunting.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, y'all. Thank you. Bye.
You have been listening to the IdgitCast from QuadruppleZ.com. Visit our Facebook group at facebook.com/IdgitCast. Email us at idgitcastpodcast@gmail.com. Please use the episode title in the subject line. You can call our voicemail line, 206-309-9389. Please name the episode early in your message. The theme song for the IdgitCast was written and performed for the show by Borrowed Trouble, and the vocalist is Allie Jones. Find the band at borrowedtrouble.com. The closing music you are hearing right now is Too Good, written and performed by Jack Mangan and is used by permission. Find more music by Jack, as well as humor, fiction, discussion, and a variety of other goings-on at jackmangan.com, home of the Deadpan Podcast. Would you like to hear more from the hosts of the show? You can find John Pavlich on CastleCast, also from quadruplez.com, and his own Sofa Dogs podcast at sofadogs.libsyn.com. Yvette can also be heard on Investigating Mars, also at quadruplez.com. David Bushman is one of the hosts of the Pop Culture Wars podcast at facebook.com/popculturewars. Get in touch with Darcy for apparel design needs at facebook.com. Search for Cyan Fey Designs, CYANFEY Designs. And you can also hear Darcy and I on the Ghostlight podcast, an introcast for the television series Slings and Arrows, at quadruplez.com.
Podcast.
All right.
Corn dog.
Oh, goodness.
You get that reference, give yourself a cookie.
I don't. You just make me laugh.
It's from the Monster Squad.
Oh, see, I know of Monster Squad, but I've never seen it.
I don't know what that is either.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Come on, what is it?
It is a, it's a movie from the 80s where a group of kids have to fight all of the universal horror monsters, like Dracula and the Wolfman.
What's his name in it? The guy from Wonder Years.
Is it?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Jason Harvey, it. Yeah.
It's been a long time.
He's not that one.
Wolfman's got no eyes.
Yep, that's it.
I know the quote, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, you need to see the movie. It's fantastic.
Our kids might...
Was the guy that did Night of the Creeps.
Uh-huh. I met him.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
In a town in the woods at the top of a hill, there's a house where no one lives. So you take a big bag of your big city money there and by it. But at night when the house is dark and you're all alone, there's a noise upstairs. At the top of the stairs there's a door, and you take a deep breath and try it. And the flashlight shows you something moving just inside the door. It's a tattered dress and a feeling you have felt somewhere before. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a ruined eye, it's always open. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a pretty mouth to swallow you whole. So you scream and you close the door, and you tell yourself it was just a dream. In the morning you head into town, cause you wanna go antiquing. In the store there's a strange old man with a wandering eye and a withered hand. When he hands you the old wooden box, you can hear his old bones creaking. And you know what you will find inside the moment that you see that someone's carved your name in. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a ruined eye, it's always open. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a pretty mouth to swallow you whole. When you come home late, the doll is waiting up for you. When you fix the snack, the doll can't sleep, so you make some tea. And the doll disapprovingly asks if you really need that much honey. You decide that you've had enough, and you lock the doll in the wooden box. You put the box in the fireplace.